Yes, that's the sound of Bathrop Spears Broadsides, Civil Rights for the Poor, here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. And that's 2.5 hours looming ahead of us. We're planning a review of Santa Barbara, and we're going to listen to the debate on the sleeping ban down in Santa Barbara to give us a preview of what we're facing here in Santa Cruz in January and February as City Council turns to that topic. We're going to be hearing some strong speakers at City Council, selections from the last few months of oral communication. We're going to be hearing Rotten Rotkin, or Rylag Rotkin as we call him, the council member who has set himself against any changes of any sort in the law that makes it criminal for people to sleep. We'll hear from him in terms of his City Council speeches. Hopefully we'll be hearing a long-delayed tape from the police violence seminar down in Monterey where Bear Lincoln speaks. And again, this is more a wish than a promise. I often go through these tapes and we don't get there, but maybe John Vance from Berkeley will be tuning in. Maybe some reports from the Vets Hall and more here on Bathrop Spears Broadside. Stay with us. Call in to 427-3772 here on Bathrop Spears Broadsides. What you have to say is just as important as what I have to say, and possibly more so, because I have this spot regularly and can go on and on, but you have to take the initiative. Call in to 427-3772. Tell me what's going on out there on the streets. What's going on? Are you being harassed by the police? Are you facing problems? What are your thoughts about this sleeping ban delay? They're keeping a sleeping ban on throughout the winter, a blanket ban throughout the winter, and with no possibility of a repeal until early February is what the political insiders are telling us. Is this right? Should people be in a position where they can't cover up with blankets or sleep through the winter while the city council elders try to persuade business members and residents that something should be done to restore human rights for the poor? Well, you all know my view on this, but what's your view? Call 427-3772 and let me hear from you. Let me hear what you think. Free Radio needs your input. And Free Radio, by the way, is, I've been telling you for the last two or three shows that we're on the edge of an FCC raid. Well, we have reached the edge, and we're actually beyond the edge because we've actually got a letter from the FCC, which I thought I took out to the studio with me, but apparently I didn't. But I will get a copy of it, and I will... Actually, I do have a copy of at least part of it. And before we get into our first guests who are with us live in the studio, and I'm promising you some fine speakers, we have Lighthouse Linda LeMaster of Housing Now in Santa Cruz, and, of course, the vicious Tough Love Laura Tucker, a casualty of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, who is now in housing with her small boy and still maintaining a thumb in the pie of homeless activism, so to speak, giving a real kick in the butt to those of us who think we know what we're doing. She has the experience, the hands-on, or should we say vans-on experience of living in her vehicle. But before we get into that and our guests, I'm going to read you this letter from the Federal Communications Commission, because this letter, dated December 17, 1998, and addressed to Becky Ann Johnson and Robert Norris Kahn, that's me, by the way. I'm a Robert Norris, but I'm also known by my family name as Robert Norris Kahn. It's a notice of unlicensed radio operation. And it states, well, the nub of all this is, you are hereby warned that operation of a radio transmitting equipment without a valid radio station authorization constitutes a violation of the federal laws cited above, and could subject the owner of this illegal operation to the severe penalties provided, including but not limited to a maximum criminal fine of $100,000 and or 1 year imprisonment, or arrest of the equipment. I can see they're going to draw the guns on the transmitter here, for the first offense. That's 40C U.S. Code 501, 503, and 510. And the rest of the letter talks about that they received information that we're operating an unlicensed radio station at Santa Cruz, and subsequently agents of the FCC investigated these allegations and located a radio station operating on 96.3 megahertz at 706. Well, we won't go into the address here for the air, but they have an address. So radio stations must be licensed by the FCC and so forth. They talk about that. And they say you have 10 days from this date to respond with proof of your license or authority to operate. Your response should be sent to the address on the letterhead. Under the Privacy Act, we are informing you that the Commission's staff will use all relevant material information before it to determine what, if any, enforcement action is required to ensure your compliance with FCC rules. This will include any information you disclose in your reply, plus, I suppose, the phone records that they subpoenaed last week, actually 2 weeks ago, and actually got the phone company was compliant enough and complicit enough to give up the phone records before we had any chance to make any kind of legal objection. So my phone records, not just of the studio's phone line at 427-3772, all you listeners and supporters of constitutional but apparently illegal Free Radio Santa Cruz, according to the FCC, should give a call and let us know. Do you want us to continue broadcasting? Are you prepared to ring the station with your bodies and support us? Should we all sort of troop into the night and head off for the hills and spring up somewhere else? What kind of strategies should we pursue? Let us know, because we're out here not just for ourselves. We certainly like to hear ourselves talk, but we're also here to do community service, because we think that this kind of a station really is needed. And that's partially where it's at. We'd like you to give us a call at 427-3772. Lines are open, and the ringer is even on, which is rare in my show. I usually blank the ringer down to zero and try to look at a little blinking light, and usually don't see it, or occasionally don't see it when you guys call in. So come on, women and men, give us a call. We want to hear from all you outraged listeners telling us to keep on going, stop going, go somewhere else. Are you going to be there at our trial when they try to put us in jail for a year? Are you going to be out there? Are you going to be doing something else, maybe listening to KSCO? What's the plan? I mean, let's get some notions. Let's see what you think should be done. Give a call to 427-3772, Free Radio Santa Cruz. Now, that having been said, and I'm going to continue to bring up the subject throughout the hour, the Federal Communications attack on not just this little station here, but essentially on every little station and every community which wants to set up a little station for folks who don't have $100,000 for a 100-watt transmitter, which is apparently the minimum broadcast strength that they, in their arbitrariness, have decided is the lower limit. You know, if you're too small, you just don't count, and not only don't you count, we're not going to let you talk. It's as though they said everybody under 6 feet is not allowed to speak on the streets. Now, wouldn't that be a really kind of new approach? It would certainly quiet things down a lot, and it would give some more weight to those folks with bigger mouths and taller statures and more height and maybe elevator shoes. Or actually, more relevant, let's suppose only people who had $100,000 in their pocket could speak, because that's in fact what Free Radio, the FCC, mainly pushed by groups like the National Association of Broadcasters, is doing. They're saying, if you're rich, you can talk. If you're not, we're putting you in jail for doing so. And this is a real threat. This letter is dated December 17th. This means on December 27th, they will close down the station, unless they, of course, for some reason choose to jump the gun. Or perhaps they're bluffing. Are you bluffing, FCC? Are you trying to intimidate us? Trying to squeeze us out of here? Trying to have us tuck our tail between our legs and run? I don't know what you're trying to do, but what I want to know is what the community thinks of all this. And again, the line to call here at 96.3 FM is 427-3772. Well, we have in our studio two women who occasionally, I would imagine, listen to free radio. Linda LeMaster. Linda, what do you think of this FCC attack on the station?
Well, it wasn't a surprise. It seemed that people, even not related to the radio who live in this neighborhood, had been harassed by them in person. So I wasn't surprised that a letter came. It seems to me like the same problem that we had years ago about feeding free food to people in this the county's, what is it, I forget what her title is.
The County Health and Safety Code was used by Mayor Marty Wormhout and Jim Lang of the Parks and Rec acting as acting city manager. This was actually 10 years ago in this very month, in December of 1988, after Jane Immler had organized a fast at the town clock against homeless violence and in favor of fighting the laws that make it illegal to sleep. She wasn't fasting. She was serving soup. She fasted 3 years before that. And in order to stop this travesty, Mayor Marty Wormhout, something for which he's never apologized, by the way, decided to crack down on homeless people and homeless activists at the town clock and sent in the riot squad on January 3rd, I believe it was, 1989.
I remember that, Robert, but that's not what I was referring to.
Sorry?
I was talking about when myself and Jane Immler and ultimately Linda Edwards were papered for having something to do with the Food Not Bombs group when it first settled and was getting...
talking about 1993, actually. That was when Food Not Bombs formed out of the Santa Cruz Union of the Homeless, and they got... actually, Ray Glock-Gruneich also got papered for that. But that's another story.
The story is that Linda Edwards was the only person who had the guts to stand up to that bureaucratic assault. And ultimately, because of that, she's the one that they tried in their state-mandated bureaucracy to prosecute. And she's the only one who had the guts to go in there and tell them they're full of shit. She did have some supporters, but not a single person from the Food Not Bombs group that she was basically used as cover for went in there with her as support.
I believe I went in there with her as support, and I was a member of that group.
You were not active at Food Not Bombs at that time, perhaps later, Robert. I remember.
Well, we all have our little factional disputes, but yeah, I think that was an interesting thing, and it was through her courageous stand, as well as Food Not Bombs eventually, I think, got it together and was standing up as well. Are we losing one of our...
Well, actually, I just came out here to deliver a message, and Becky's watching the baby, so I just thought I'd stop.
Well, now we know that you can give her the yes. well, thank you for the message.
Have a quick question, or...
Yeah, well, Laura Tucker, what do you think of this closing of the station, and also any comments about the sleeping ban, because I know you're a woman who has suffered under the sleeping ban. You've had to sleep in your vehicle and worry about it being confiscated and so forth.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think we should be patient with the city council, give them a couple of months to work on this?
Well, you know, I don't understand. At the last city council meeting, Keith Sugar was trying to pull off some kind of an emergency maneuver where we could at least get a moratorium until, because they're going through all this bureaucratic stuff of talking to both sides and trying to appear fair instead of just
doing the right thing.
Well, instead of doing the right thing, which is, you know, recognizing that people's civil rights are being violated. So I didn't understand, and I don't think Keith Sugar understands either, how he could... what I understood from Catherine Byers and from the city attorney that night was that they needed to call an emergency session, and then that they needed 5 votes, and so they decided not to... I mean, can you clear that up a little bit?
Sure. Actually, Keith Sugar didn't even attempt to put any kind of legislation on the table. He simply proposed a sort of a guiding resolution for the police department that suggested that the police not ticket or even harass homeless people at all unless there was a health and safety complaint.
Okay, and how is it that that was not able to happen?
The city attorney said, and I believe could have been after Rodkin spoke about this, but the city attorney said, well, that would be confusing for the police because the police have to enforce the law, and you'd have to change the law, is what Barisoni said, which actually was something different than he told me, which is he said they would prefer that the law be changed, but that, you know, the police do have discretion,
sure.
and the city council can give discretionary. But I think, you know, Barisoni is a strange bird in many ways. He, I like him personally as an individual, and I've kind of been friendly with him, but I think that he tends to come down, it looks like, on the conservative side. I think he still has this sort of backward-looking mentality to the previous council, which, of course, was a Rodkin, a dominated council. And Rodkin, of course, was the prime person who was trying to throw a monkey wrench into these proceedings at that December 8th meeting.
Right. Well, I guess the question in my mind is, are they doing everything that they can be doing? You know, are their hands tied, or are they actually, you know, just blowing it? And
well, of course, here's Linda's answer to that.
Well, I think that the city, the people on the city council and other people that run the city know full well that people are going to die because they don't have the stomach or the guts to call an emergency meeting. I think, personally, the reason they don't have the guts to do it is because it will ruffle the feathers of an establishment of merchants and other self-appointed elite that they might be sticking up for that part of the population that seems the poorest. That's the only reason they haven't called an emergency meeting, and they're perfectly capable of doing it logistically and in parliamentary terms and in diplomatic terms. They don't have the will to do it.
Okay, I agree with you, but if they were to call an emergency meeting, is it true that they need 5 votes in order to do anything?
Actually, see, this was the problem, and it is true that if you try to pass urgency legislation, it's not even call an emergency meeting, but pass urgency legislation, it requires 5 votes. If you, however, as was also explained at that meeting, if you don't get the 5 votes, you can still pass it by 4 votes as ordinary legislation. It just doesn't go into effect for a month, and requires a second reading along the way. But you see, the important thing is not an urgency session. The important thing is to have a special session called, so you don't have to wait until January 12th, when the next, I guess January 5th is a city council meeting that's going to be held for the purpose of looking at commission members. There are a whole bunch of new appointments for commissions, but January 12th is their plan for first regular business. And the answer to your question about whether something could be done is, something could have been, Kate Wells, you're going to hear this, I'm going to play this tape for you in a moment, asked as early as November 10th, when Sean Alimi had died, and she came before the city council, said Sean was a man who worked for feeding people, and who spent a month in jail for sleeping outside City Hall, and was the co-founder of the City Hall Sleepers protest, put this on the agenda on the 24th, so that it can be passed on the 8th at the second reading. Right. And that person who could have done that was Catherine Byers, and Catherine Byers refused to do that. And that is why she is the subject of a very critical flyer that I've written about her, because I feel that she is betraying not only the basic consciences of the community, the basic rights of the homeless, the electorate that has come up with, you know, what it feels should be the New Deal going on at City Council, but she's also not really being terribly honest or helpful in facilitating council members who've decided they want to do something, like Keith Sugar. Now, Keith Sugar, to be said, was not interested in changing the sleeping ban, per se, at that hearing. He was forced into that position when Rodkin and Barisoni said, we won't accept any, you know, any compliance changes, any standards for compliance, other than the very weak standard that was proposed by Catherine Byers, which was the one eventually passed. That weak standard talks about ticketing wherever practicable or reasonable on the basis of complaints and...
They already do that.
And they claim, exactly.
Sure, they claim, and that's another thing that's not being addressed.
Police Chief Belcher says, and John Barisoni a year ago in court, mind you, said that's their policy anyway. And of course, if that's their policy anyway...
And how are they behaving? Is anybody talking about the police and their behavior? I mean...
I'm talking about the police. They have for years claimed, the administrators, the police chief have claimed, that they only ticket on complaint. But they ticket whoever they want. They harass whoever they want.
That's right.
I've seen these policemen come to my house in a neighborhood. This isn't the mall. At 2:30 in the afternoon to see if people were sleeping in their van.
And they're Give imposing me a break. Their own beliefs and morals depending on what your vehicle looks like. Whether, like, I know myself, when I was single and staying, you know, then they'd leave me alone. But as soon as I had a male, you know, that I was hanging out with, then I was, there's a knock on the door. As soon as there's a man in the van, they would knock on the door.
To protect your chastity.
I think so. I think they were.
They were jealous. Let's give them a little rope here. Give them until February. Let's talk about it for a while.
See, my view is that there is no administration going on. The police are allowed and perhaps encouraged to do whatever they want. And one of the things they want to do is kick the people that seem to be beneath them. It makes them feel good. It's a macho thing.
Right.
And I think half the police force is behaving that way. This is based on my own observations.
Yeah.
You know, and they single out certain neighborhoods, plus...